This morning, I am bringing you the scripture and the sermon from downtown Fort Collins, right around the corner from me here on Old Firehouse Alley is Lululemon and shops and cafes and spaces, workspace and art space. We are right in the middle of our beautiful downtown. Our scripture today comes from Matthew, chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. The kingdom of heaven, said Jesus, is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. After he agreed with the workers to pay them a denarian, which was a typical day's wage, he sent them into his vineyard. Then he went out around 9 in the morning and saw others standing around the marketplace doing nothing. He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I'll pay you whatever is right." And they went. Again, around noon, and then at 3 in the afternoon, the landowner did the same thing. And he came later, around 5 in the afternoon, and found others standing around. And he said to them, "Why are you just standing around here, doing nothing all day long?" "Because nobody has hired us," they replied. He responded, "Then you also go into the vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the workers. Give them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and moving finally to the first. And when those who were hired at 5 in the afternoon came, each one received a denarian. Now, when those hired first came, they thought they would receive even more. But each of them also received a denarian. When they received it, they grumbled. They said, 'Why did the ones working only 1 hour receive the same pay as we did, even though we had to work the whole day in the hot sun?' But the landowner replied to one of them, 'Friend, I did you no wrong. Didn't I agree to pay you a denarian? Take what belongs to you and go. I want to give to this one who was hired last the same as I give to you. Don't I have the right to do whatever I want with what belongs to me? Or are you resentful because I'm generous?' So those," said Jesus, "who are last will be first, and those who are first will be last." For the word of God in scripture, for the word of God within us, for the word of God among us, thanks be to God. This is an odd story, isn't it? Any sane business person in any one of these good businesses around here would say, "Oh, bad business practice. We pay for hours worked. How will we maintain our profits if we pay for hours not worked? That's crazy. And how can that motivate our workers to do the best when some get paid the same for less work?" Ridiculous. And just ask any kid that you know. They will tell you, "That story's not fair." We all like to be first, like to find the best parking space and lot, get the best grades, win the race, get the job, the promotion, the raise in wages or allowance. And yet sometimes someone else gets the parking space. Someone else gets the best grade or the job or the promotion or the raise, and someone else wins the race. It doesn't always feel fair. No one wants to be less than or last, right? Even if Jesus says being last means being first. What's up with that? What's up with Jesus here? If we take a look at the chapter before, chapter 19 in Matthew, before our story, we may have some clues. In chapter 19, Jesus is teaching the crowds, as well as all his disciples, about God's sense of fairness and justice and grace. God's sense. All kinds of people are asking him questions, and some, like the Pharisees, are trying to trick him into what they think are wrong answers. The children come, and they want to ask questions too, but the disciples shoo them away. And you know what Jesus says. Let the children come to me. I love their questions. I love them. They are the essence of God's realm and God's community here and now. If you want to understand God, be like a child. Come on, kids. Let's talk. And then a rich young man comes to ask, how do I achieve? Now that's an interesting word, isn't it? Note that, achieve. How do I achieve eternal life, life with God? And Jesus says, keep the commandments you have been taught all your life in the scriptures. But am I missing anything else, says the young man? And Jesus says, if you want to be complete, not successful, not first, not high achieving, but complete, whole, go and sell everything you own and give the money to the poor. And come and follow me. The young man went away very sad because he had many possessions. Wow. Don't you think that the crowds, all those crowds and disciples, were astonished? Jesus told this rich, young, scripturally educated, obviously successful man to essentially go to the end of the line. Go to the end of the line. Be with the last and not the first in society. And that was too hard. No one wants to be last. Now the disciples have so many questions. And what does Jesus say to them? That really excruciating, annoying thing that we always hear quoted. I assure you that it will be very hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. In fact, it's easier for a camel to squeeze through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter God's kingdom. Then who can be saved? They practically scream at him. Aren't the rich blessed by God in God's favor? Who gets to be part of God's blessing? Who are God's good guys? Jesus looked at them carefully and said, it's impossible for human beings. But all things are possible for God. Oh, thanks, Jesus. Thanks. That really clears things up. Peter says what many of the disciples were thinking, and maybe many of us, we have left everything to follow you. Are we saved? Will God bless us? What do we get in the end? And Jesus says, all who have left everything to follow me will have eternal, meaningful life in God's realm, here and now and yet to come, which is heaven. Remember, many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first. And then Jesus tells them the story we just heard. The kingdom of heaven, God's realm, now and yet to come, is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. And we hear all about the workers who were hired at dawn and at 9 and at 3 and at noon and at 5 and happened to work only 1 hour. We hear all about them and how they were paid the very same thing at the end of the day. Wow. No way. not fair. And yet Jesus tells the disciples and us that the vineyard owner says to those who worked all day and are now protesting, I have paid you a fair day's wages. I paid what I said I would. Is my money my vineyard? Can I not pay what and as and who I will? Why are you giving me the evil eye? Why are you so resentful? Because I'm being generous with what I own. Remember, those who are last will be first, and those who are first will be last. Last or first? Do we want to be last or first? Jesus just turned everything on its head. If we want to be first, does that mean we have to sneak to the back of the line and be last? And what does that even mean? Stop doing our best as workers? If we understand God is the vineyard owner in the story, do we stop doing our best in God's vineyard? Work less hours, we get paid the same anyway. Play all around during our lives, get rich, live large and selfishly, and then come to God in the deathbed confession. Be saved at the last hour. We would be last of the vineyard, but so therefore would we be first in God's kingdom? I'm talking nonsense now, and you know it. Still, it's important for us to think very carefully about this last and first. Does God's realm of heaven on earth operate in a linear line or in a chronological sequence, first to last? Does it operate as a hierarchy, upper to lower, in terms of income or education or class status or race or gender or sexual orientation? Or does God's realm work more like an ever-expanding circle where we are all included and there is no start or finish line, no higher or lower, no first or last? And if we really internalize this image of the realm of God as a circle, this realm of God is a circle. How are we changed in our lives here and now? Follow me. Let's take a walk around the corner here. Notice some of the beautiful buildings as we walked around the corner. The old buildings we've taken such good care of here in Fort Collins and revitalized in our old town. Perhaps you're remembering an old town or a downtown that you love, if it's not this one, that you love to walk through, where there are upscale boutiques and trendy cafes and wonderful places and lots of flowers and lots of good business. But as we walked around here, I hope you also wondered if in this beautiful, aesthetically pleasing, financially thriving place, you could buy a cup of coffee. A cup of coffee here is likely to cost much more than a cup of coffee at the 7-Eleven in a place on a corner that's not so lovely. I doubt that everyone in Fort Collins can afford to buy their clothes or their coffee in this part of town. As you see, just across behind me is another building in Fort Collins. I think it's a beautiful building, though it may not be as aesthetic. The Fort Collins Rescue Mission, a non-denominational Christian-based organization that is changing lives every day by being in relationship with those who are homeless and those who are in need of help with addiction and of healing their lives. Now, here at Plymouth, we know that the folks who run the Fort Collins Rescue Mission have some different theology than we do, some different social values, but they are still working in God's vineyard, working for God's people. And we work with folks down in this area at La Familia and La Casina, at the Murphy Center, with Neighbor to Neighbor. So perhaps you can also envision one of those beautiful buildings. Beautiful buildings that don't necessarily look like the aesthetic ones here. And perhaps you can remember some of the folks there who probably can't buy a cup of coffee in this neighborhood at this time in their life. Did we just travel from first to last as we moved around the corner? From one social class down to another, that those of us who are in the upwardly mobile classes are supposed to help fix because we want to do good things in God's eyes, like the rich young man? Is that how God's realm of justice and love here and now and yet to come really works? Or what if there are no levels or linear or even chronological arrangement in the wide circle of God's generosity and grace? What if there is really no first or last, no last or first? What if we are all just God's beloveds? God's beloveds with a capital B. Living as workers in God's vineyard. And the length of time we work in the vineyard, joyful work given us by virtue of just being God's beloved, is not the issue. Because God's abundance, with a capital A, is not given out to those who come first or last or in between. God's abundance is always there, is always, and is always enough. Like the manna sent by God to feed God's people in the wilderness, they got just enough every day. And if they tried to hoard it, it rotted. A quick search on the internet will tell you in studies that come from the United Nations that we have in the world 1.5 times more food than we need to feed all the world. And yet, why are people starving? Why do we need rescue missions? Because we human beings insist on playing by the last and first rules. We insist on scarcity and hoarding. And because of that, our relationships are often rotten. Jesus tells us that God does not play by first and last rules. God is abundance, generosity, grace, and we are God's beloved, and there is enough for all. If we stop playing with the scarcity, first to last, up or down, better or worse, who wins, who's in, who's out, rules. If we embrace one another in the ever-widening circle of God and of love. And my friends, this is not a pie-in-the-sky ideal. This is real life. If there is no first or last, then there is sharing all around and plenty. I suspect that the folks who embrace one another here at the Fort Collins Rescue Mission and are welcoming one another know this, and I suspect that we do too. How will we use this wonderful knowing as neighbors and business people and children and youth and students and teachers and voters? In Jesus' story, wages were used not to create distinctions between people, but to express equality and solidarity. 20th century Catholic social justice activist and journalist Dorothy Day wrote about this story. Jesus spoke of the living wage, not equal pay for equal work, in the parable of those who came first and those who came at the 11th hour. A living wage. What if we all of God's beloved, that would mean all of us human beings, received a living wage like living water of resources and finances and work opportunities, and most importantly, of joy and meaningful life and love? How do we make that happen? Relationally, socially, politically, in God's realm, heaven on earth, here and now and yet to come, if we work with God together in the vineyard of justice and love, will we all live in buildings that are beautiful because of the relationships inside? May it be so. Amen. Yeah.